nights.
Midnight
to 3 a.m. Sounds unsound.
Sounds
unsound.
Sounds
unsound. Only on KBOO.
Sound.
Tune in every second and fourth Saturday night,
midnight
to 3 a.m. Sounds unsound.
Sounds
unsound.
Sounds unsound.
Only on KBOO.
Sound.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is the Press Watch General Strike Update. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for news you're not supposed to know and left opinion. General strike preparations are moving forward across the nation. It's time to bring it up and start preparations in your group. A general strike is not just a protest, it's a refusal to cooperate in a corrupt system. And this general strike is against Trump and Trumpism. It gives you something to do, something to look forward to, and a way to turn what would otherwise be a national day of mourning into a blow against our oppressors, into really a great celebratory day that you will remember for the rest of your life. A general strike is a blow against the smooth running of the system. It's a refusal to cooperate in a corrupt system. A general strike gives an opportunity to set up alternative means of providing our own needs, which is why strike committees arrange everything from food delivery to transportation, childcare, cleanup. It needs to be that extensive, and there need to be many general strike committees, and that can be just you and two of your friends. Or it can be your organization, and some organizations locally are already moving on this. This general strike will give a first opportunity to militate against the Trump administration and specifically against its racism, its demonization of Hispanics and Muslims, its homicidal attitude towards blacks, its rapist attitude towards women, its attack on our precious ecosystems, its giveaways to the rich parasites in Exxon, Goldman Sachs, Koch brothers, its intentional inflammation of nativist attitudes among the ignorant, and so much more. This is our fight back. So what have I done? I've been contacting some people, I've been broadcasting, and I've been experimenting with posters, which is kind of fun. I've been learning things about how to make posters, collaborating with my housemate Amy, who already made a poster. So my contact information is Teresa Mitchell on Facebook. You can find me, just look for that old lady smiling at you. Teresa Mitchell, and you'll see the indices. I put on there that I'm 78 years old, but I was just kidding. Pardon me. You can also contact me, KBOO Press Watch at Twitter. KBOO Press Watch at Twitter. Information about the general strike can be found by using a hashtag, J20 General Strike or General Strike. You can find out what is happening. Here's some information from San Francisco's efforts to organize the general strike. It's an article by Peter Galletta and Gabriel Holland on November 27th. And 38 years ago today, they write, Harvey Milk and George Moscone were assassinated by Dan White, leaving our city in chaos and grief. The loss of Harvey's leadership is still felt deeply by the LGBT progressive community, and often people pose the question of what would Harvey do? While it's uncertain to us, they write, what would Harvey do? The spirited populist brashly progressive approach that Harvey took continues to inspire the LGBT community in San Francisco and beyond. In the 1970s, during uncertain times, rife with anti-gay sentiment and amidst a rising tide of discrimination against gay people across the country, Harvey took to the pulpit. He seized the bullhorn. He woke us up. Like you, we awoke the morning of November 9th to find the country we thought we lived in, the country on its way towards realizing the ideals of liberty and justice for all, had apparently vanished overnight, dissolving into darkness. Now, before I go further with that text, that's a white person's realization. I don't want to cop to that. And yeah, I shared that. I thought, it's that bad. Yeah, well, you know, if I hadn't been white, I would have known. But anyway, returning to the text, for many, the darkness in which we find ourselves seems new and terrifying. For others, a final confirmation of familiar suspicions. The president-elect has already been busy making real his dark vision, appointing racist, anti-immigrant, anti-worker, climate-denying crusaders to the highest positions of power, and now we face an uncertain prospect. What shall we do? Our proposal is simple. They write, we stop. Center ourselves in both hope and love and reach down deep into the core of our social power, our connection to each other. There can be no doubt that were our political system truly responsive to the needs and desires of its people, then the election would have ended differently. Now it seems the system is set on an inevitable course that would put corporate profit over human need and pit neighbor against neighbor. Neither our country nor our planet can afford to allow that to happen. Harvey Milk, they write, refused to acquiesce to the status quo. Amidst the progress and setbacks of the 1977 election, he called on the LGBT community to break down the walls and the barriers. So the movement to the left continues and progress continues in the nation. We are heeding, they write, Harvey's call to action and believe that San Francisco must be at the forefront of the continued movement to the left. Whether within the local Democratic Party or in our community grassroots organizing, we need to break down barriers and assure that we are working together towards progress for all. If we're going to lead the way, they write, we need determined and bold action on our policy, politics, and daily lives, which is why we are encouraging our fellow LGBT citizens and allies to join us in a nationwide general strike and mass day of action on January 20th. They write, the general strike has a long history of changing the tide in desperate times of need. After strikes in multiple cities in 1934, Congress passed the National Labor Relations Act, first recognizing the fundamental right of workers to join together to work for their mutual benefit. And again, I want to speak for myself. People say, oh, what does protest do? Listen, anything we ever got, we got from protests. We got the eight-hour day by shooting back at the cops. People just don't realize that. It's just the fact. This year, they write, millions of workers in India have engaged in the largest general strike in history, seeking to advance their own mutual interests against the power of elites. No, I'm not recommending that you shoot back at the cops. I'm just saying, hey, Mark, it happened. And that's what happened. On January 20th, 2017, pardon me, as federal power is handed to the Trump administration, shall we slog away at work and school, pretending that it is not happening or hoping that it won't be too bad? Instead, let's come together in our streets and towns and join in love with our neighbors, our children, and elders in peaceful protest to talk, share, and break bread in communion with each other. They go on to some local details of organization there in San Francisco. That's just one example of general strike information. This from U.S. Workers Action Program from the Communists. They write from CWGUSA.org. Rallies, teach-ins, forums, and one-day work stoppages will not defeat or end the war on workers, especially oppressed peoples and nations with which the capitalist class has hired Trump to carry out. But they say the global capitalist crisis is deepening and the planned switch from neoliberalism and globalism to isolationism and trade protectionism will not resolve the capitalist crisis. And they go into that sort of commie way to support the I should have used a highlighter to get through all the commie verbiage here. Anyway, so, you know, the commies are supporting the general strike. I am inviting your calls now, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Want to know what you're thinking about the general strike, what you think you might do, what you've done already, what sort of attitude your organization has And that number again, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I have some headlines. The Obama administration announced a permanent ban on oil and gas drilling in most of the country's Arctic waters and parts of the Arctic Ocean, a move made a few weeks before the pro-drilling Trump administration takes over. And speaking for myself, this seems calculated to piss them off, and I'm fine with it. The announcement, this is from Mashable.com, was made in conjunction with Canada, which is also putting a five-year moratorium on new oil and gas leases in its Arctic waters. Quoting Obama, "These actions and Canada's parallel actions protect a sensitive and unique ecosystem that is unlike any other region on Earth. They reflect the scientific assessment that even with high safety standards that both our countries have put into place, the risks of an oil spill in this region are significant and our ability to clean up from a spill in the region's harsh conditions is limited," end quote. The actions by the White House made under the president's authority under the 1953 Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act is a way for Obama to further cement his environmental legacy, I'm sorry, I can't say that without laughing, and push his climate agenda forward. And that's what they wrote anyway. And it says the act empowers the president to, from time to time, withdraw from disposition any of the unleased lands of the Outer Continental Shelf from oil and gas development. The designation of such a large area, 115 million acres, were set aside through this one action, is an unusually sweeping application of this provision, however, and may be challenged in federal courts. So that's what's happening with that. And I did scoff when they said Obama's environmental legacy, because at a time when it was becoming increasingly clear that the petroleum economy needed to be shut down swiftly, he did effectively next to nothing and kept the status quo in place. And that would include his friends in the oil and banking industry. And as we change from administrations, from Obama to Trump administrations, that's one of the things that I kind of notice. Won't pretend in any way that I'm happy about Trump taking office. Oh, no, not at all. But when Trump does this sort of thing, he's going to get called on it. When Trump encourages coal, he's going to get called on it. But, of course, he'll be much worse than Obama. That's a whole nother day's discussion, I guess. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And I want to continue with some of the environmental information that I have, because the situation environmentally is much worse. I keep saying that. I keep coming here and saying it's worse. But the problem is things have been discovered recently that added together mean that the speculations and charts and projections are all going to have to be changed. And one of those is the respiration of CO2 from soil that is heated beyond its average and overheated during heat events. Problem is that soil all over the planet is respiring, is releasing CO2, and that phenomenon simply wasn't known until this past year. So this has to be added in. And as I've mentioned before, the amount of methane being released and the sources of methane are greater than had been realized. And the loss of Arctic ice is moving much more rapidly than anyone had realized. And the overall situation is such that we don't even have whatever confidence that we had previously in the charts. You know, the hockey stick that you saw before that was so alarming, well, it's worse. It's worse, and so I'm ready to talk about that and what to do about it. So of course, you know, what I say to do about it is simply humbly in agreement with 97% of scientists, and that is to stop the fossil fuel economy. But it seems to me that in order to save millions of lives and possibly billions, there may be greater, we're past that point. And I'm going to say this knowing that it will create a backlash, but I think that we're going to have to try some geoengineering, because things are that bad, and it's better than, well, let me put it this way. With all of the projections off the charts and having to be redone, certain phenomena are being moved forward that are horrifying, and which we did not previously have to look at as carefully in the immediate future. two, three, 4 degree warming. How rapidly, it's hard to say, but increased heat events in places like Sudan are already killing people off. There was an increased event in France, which killed many, many people. We're going to see more of these. It's not all going to be at once. But the fact is, we're moving towards a situation in which the tropics, and I'm talking about the entire planet, are going to be uninhabitable. And that is an act of genocide. And it's a very handy one for, say, I'm not going to blame, you know, I could blame white banksters for a lot. I'm not going to blame them directly for this, but they just happen to be in line to benefit from it, because as the economy is automatized, the need for workers is becoming less and less. Factories that have to be air-conditioned for a big energy premium are going to be moved out of areas where it's too hot to live. People are going to move out of areas where it's too hot to live. People are going to die en masse. We're talking, when I talk about too hot to live, I'm talking about wet bulb temperatures. This means a thermometer bulb can be covered with cloth and water, and you can blow a fan on it. And if you can do that and you're in a temperature where it remains at 95 degrees, then that is a killing temperature. A wet bulb temperature of 95 degrees is going to be maintained in the tropics, and we don't know how soon. It's going to happen from, it's happening from time to time already, and it's killing people. What's going to happen is we're going to have more and more outbreaks, heat events in which it is actually 120 and more degrees. 120 in the day, 98 at night. People die. Might take a few days. The strong ones last longer. We're going to have these mass death events. So since the situation is so incredibly dire, then I am more partial towards desperate actions such as, and it would have to be agreed to internationally, of course, dropping calcite between the sun's rays and the ice caps temporarily, that sort of thing. And the reason I bring that up is not because I think geoengineering is a great idea. I'm just trying to get across to you that we've really gone too far. Global warming is now an emergency. The indices that were used to indicate just how soon and how bad it was are all off the charts again. And here we go. I have some details on one of the glaciers that is about to cause a huge problem, and I'll go to that in just a moment. But right now, the number to call, 503-231-8187, and Linda's on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you for letting me on, and thank you for the show this morning, Teresa. I wanted to tell you about something that other people are organizing before the general strike.
Before the general strike.
It's actually before the general strike, and they're calling, it's an organization that's formed up an emergency meeting. They live streamed on December 19th, and they're calling themselves refuseandresist.org. And they say their slogan is, no, this fascist regime must be stopped before it starts. There's some pretty
before
interesting...
it starts. They're not going to wait till January 20th.
No, they're not waiting till January 20th, not at all. They're calling for rolling daily outbreaks of activity everywhere. And they have posters like you do that can be downloaded and printed. It has people like Bill Ayers, Isabel Cardenas, Carl Dix, Niles Eldridge, Chase Iron Eyes, Fran Luck, a bunch of people, Cornell West.
That's great news.
And I thought you might want to look it up. And you can look it up on Facebook also. It's just, on Facebook, it's everywhere, it's Refuse Fascism.
Refuse Fascism, okay.
Yeah, refusefascism.org, and their slogan is, we must stop this before it starts.
Okay,
so they're trying to get us, so many of us in the street, that the oligarchy has to pick out one of their many reasons for not accepting Trump and stopping it.
Why wait for the fun? I like this. So,
yeah,
and then on the general strike, what's your attitude, or do you have any specific organizations?
No, my reaction is absolutely yes. Let's be there in the street. I'm like you. I'm with KBU, so I will be talking about it when I can on the air.
I think it's going to be a big day.
Doing it on Facebook.
I think it's going to be a big day and something to really look forward to.
Yeah, I think it should be. And I'm hoping that this organization, given the people it has in it, are able to help. They want to link up with all of the already things that were happening all over, just like you. There are people in places all over this country who are ready to take action immediately and have been in the streets like they have been here in Portland. So they're interested in linking up with those in any way they can.
Right on.
Okay. Thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome. I enjoy doing my show. I certainly do. And thank you to people who support KBOO. And thanks to everyone who have allowed me to get up and get some satisfaction in life in this way, to come up to my community radio station for, 30 years now, starting in KAZI in Austin, and 25 years here in Portland. Been able to come up and do my little thing. And my little thing is to give you the news you're not supposed to know, to strengthen left opinion, and just kind of be a cheerleader in that way. And try to agitate and try to move forward to a better world, which I believe that we can have. And I think that a well-organized, well-thought-out, and executed general strike can be very helpful in that regard, because we do so many things ourselves. When the institutions are shut down, when we refuse the institutions, when we get together and, even if it's something as simple as being out in the park with a nice fire going in the brazier and a potluck on the table, which we intend to do after the marches, et cetera, it can be very satisfying and empowering. And we all get together and we see that the power that we do have. And I think we ask ourselves the questions, whose society is this anyway? I mean, how did we get into a situation where we all live to serve a tiny class that we never see? How did we become serfs for the super rich? Well, the answer is in history. And the answer is in political actions. It didn't happen naturally. It was a perversion of natural processes. And so we are in this situation now, in which we have an effectively fascist, imperial, racist, apartheid state, which we simply have to bring down. And when I say bring it down, not giving a specific method other than starting with the general strike, I do think we can bring it down peacefully. And it's quicker to bring it down peacefully, and that's what we should try to do. But maintaining the corporate imperial state and its destruction of the planet is an extreme and genocidalist violent action. Doing nothing is extremely violent, extremely irresponsible. We cannot do it. We must act responsibly, and that's why we have to have a general strike January 20th. And again, information for my social contacts, Teresa Mitchell on Facebook, KBOO Press Watch on Twitter. And before I go to the next caller, by the way, the number 231-8187, 503-231-8187, I want to talk to you about the Totten Glacier. It's one of the largest glaciers in the East Antarctic ice sheet. IFL Science wrote an article about it. There was also, by the way, there's an article on robertscribbler.com about this, which is a good climate blog to look up. But IFL Science wrote, the most voluminous single mass of ice in the world. Scientists have just confirmed that it is melting insanely fast from below. Speaking for myself, and this is because this great multi-Amazon flow of warm water, I mean, this is just terrible news. This gigantic flow of warm water is undermining the largest glacier. And this is what I'm talking about when I'm saying things are worse, much worse. Reporting in the journal Science Advances, the international team note that unusually warm oceanic water is flooding into the glacier's undercut base at a rate of 220,000 cubic meters per second. That's enough to cause Totten to shed up to 73 billion tons of ice per year. So, as I said, Amazon's worth. Melting glaciers like Totten directly contribute to sea level rise, worse, by destroying those near the edge of the continent. Masses of ice dammed up behind them are free to flow into the sea. Again, speaking for myself, part of this is floating in the sea. It goes plop, so what? Doesn't change the sea level. It's not a so what. I mean, it's a disaster, but it doesn't change the sea level. But the rest of the glacier will come rolling after it, and that will change the sea level. They write, the icy catchment of Totten and the EIS is the size of Spain. If all of this fell into the ocean, and it's trying to, Global sea level rise will jump by 11.5 feet. Oh, say, how much did you pay for that coastal property there? Where is your real estate agent? Really? That bad? The team led by the University of Tasmania and University of Texas at Austin, Hook 'em Horns, managed to gather this data by piloting their research vessel into one of the crevasses carved out by the sea. By sneaking in beneath the Totten Glacier, I mean, can you imagine? I think that might have been a bit dangerous. They were able to see the extent of the erosion in real time for the very first time. Like many of Greenland's glaciers, Totten is being eroded from below by increasingly warm and acidic seawater, which in turn is being linked to our frenetic flux of greenhouse gas emissions into the ocean. Warm water will always erode away glaciers, but there are certain structural configurations that make it all the more likely the whole icy structure will come tumbling down. Totten is rooted deep below sea level, resting on the relatively solid bedrock. At certain points, this bedrock is flat, and at others, it slopes quite dramatically. If the glacier's underbelly is eroded back to a point in which it is resting solely on a sloping region, it will begin to move at unprecedented speeds. As recent research has revealed, a sloping zone can be found in the glacier's current mid-region. The last time the glacier was balanced at this tipping point was 3.5 million years ago. Back then, the atmospheric carbon dioxide levels were about 400 parts per million. Oh, identical to those found today. So they write, this is all genuinely terrible news. This enormous glacier is disintegrating. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, and Mitch is on the air.
Hey, good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
I want to express my sincere gratitude and appreciation for the work that you've been doing. I think you're one of our most important voices, so thank you very much.
Oh, thanks.
My only problem with the general strike is that it should have been called during the second year of the Obama administration.
Yeah. Funny, but can you imagine, like, if we had Hillary in power right now, how hard it would be to call a general strike?
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly it. It's like Hillary would have been a disaster because she's so far to the right, and yet all the so-called liberals would be defending her every step of the way as she brings us closer to fascism. So we're good.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed that. I mean, when she was running for president, she would get called on global warming, on climate change, and she would say the right things, but it would take a start. I mean, it's just like she didn't have that. She didn't have that mechanism in gear. It was like, oh, they care about global warming, so I'll say something about that. And can you imagine if she had been in office? I mean, There would just be no movement towards remediating global climate change.
I think it's great we're on the same page so much. The only thing I would add is that this concept is just a proof of where citizen power really lies. I mean, if the whole system is based on money flowing from us up to the elite, then our power lies in cutting off that energy supply for
oh
them.
Right on, absolutely. I would like to see how far it can go. I wonder if enough energy can be driven into a general strike that, say, refinery workers would walk off and create a multi-day shortage of petroleum, just so we can get an opportunity to look at what petroleum does to the society.
Great, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. I want to bring up something that is apropos of nothing I've been talking about. Well, actually, it kind of applies to everything. When the police stop someone on the street, they frisk them, they search them, and they bring them in to trial, they have specific techniques for getting the person convicted. They're very effective, and they're most effective when that person has no money. And they know this, and when they bring in a poor person, they know that that person's going to have to plea bargain. This is the way it's set up in our society. You don't have money. You can't have a lawyer. You're going to get railroaded through the system. And we do know, and here's this word, disproportionate. This is the word that conservatives cannot hear. I don't know why. Of course, it is disproportionate, grossly, racistly, apartheid-like, Jim Crow-like, applied to people of color. And you may get a notice in the mail saying that you can be on a jury, and you may think, oh, God, I don't want to participate in this corrupt system, but listen, you can do some good, especially if you're a middle-class white person who is well-spoken, who could jump through all the hoops. I would like to encourage you to do so. Don't say anything radical. Just be bland. Be not particularly noticeable. Get on those juries. And if you get a chance and you see someone who's being brought in for something that, you know, your white cousin might have got busted for and got away from, something that, frankly, you've done, let's say, how many, you know, raise your hands. This is going to cause an atmospheric disturbance if you all do at the same time. Raise your hands if, as a white person, you ever drove in a car with marijuana in the car when it was not legal. Would you hear that rumble? Come on. So we know how unjust the system is, and you can do something about it with your jury summons. And I am talking about jury nullification. And you better not say that in the court because they don't like that. But it works. This is how it works. You see someone being brought in, you see them facing something horrible, time, fines, all the things that go along with being jailed. You see it's about having a powder drug or something, you know, some small amount. And when I say small, I mean not the big dealers, right? Not the ones with the submarines that come in. You see them getting busted because they had a pistol in their car in a rough part of town. And they're going to go down for years because, you know, maybe they, you know, well, all the things they do, okay? Petty stuff, terrible consequences for them. Find them not guilty, please. That's called jury nullification. Oh, but they're technically guilty, and they told us that if they, you know, if we prove that, you know, that fingerprint was on that pistol and, you know, and this, you know, marijuana, well, it's not marijuana anymore, this powder was found in this car, then you must find guilty while they're lying. You don't have to. They don't know what's in your head. You can bollocks up the whole process, and you can fight for freedom. You can actually act for freedom and liberty by screwing up the automatic Jim Crow apartheid system by finding someone innocent. Now, there are other times when people, you know, bless them, have done some horrible and violent thing and really need to be put away. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the damn drug war, which is nothing but Jim Crow. Jury nullification, please. I ask you to do it. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Sean's on the air.
Hey, good morning, Joanne. I mean, Teresa.
Hey, hi. I'll take that anytime.
So, well, because I just called into her program a while ago. So, listen, it's not the reason I called, but since Hillary came up, I just wanted to point out how obvious it was that when the so-called election results came in, she didn't dare question the system that, of course, has supported her and she's worked in. But the moment that the Russians came into the picture, all of a sudden she was all over that.
Oh, the Russian stuff. I don't know where to start with that.
So we have another, the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming.
Yeah, that is just, God, you know, I just want to say it's
just
silly, but it works. So you've got to...
They've created so many distractions, it's almost more than the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know which one to try to disprove.
I mean, you can't see it on radio, but I'm, you know, kind of slapping my face almost.
But the reason I did call in is in relation to climate change and so forth.
Right.
I don't know if you happened to hear Democracy Now! This morning, but she pointed out that the Arctic for the first time is going to be 50 degrees warmer than its average.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so that adds to the glacier you're talking about. The other point that is never talked about, and some people scoff at, but it's been proven, and I can't remember his name, unfortunately, the scientist who wrote a book on climate change out of Great Britain. But pointing out that the tremendous amount of weight, which the melting water adds up to billions of tons of weight, that puts pressure down on the Earth's crust, which ends up creating tectonic shift.
Yes.
And more volcanic activity, including earthquakes.
Yes.
So there's that point, which they never talk about. But the other thing was the amount of the other thing she pointed out is in China, that the coal smog was literally so bad that they're having to shut down flights and driving, and literally people almost can't see the hand in front of their face. That's
yeah.
How bad it was. But the last thing I just want to ask, the general strike on the 20th is not related to a spinoff of the Million Women's March, which is going to happen in Washington, and of course there's going to be a smaller version of it in Portland.
Right.
On the 20th. They're not related, are they?
Not yet.
Well, the reason is because I called in earlier that I never hear. It's surprising because I keep up on events quite a bit. And a friend of mine had just told me about the Million Women's March the other day and how a friend of hers is going to Washington. She's going to Portland. I didn't know about it. And I just wanted to point out, I haven't heard anybody talk about it on KBOO or elsewhere. So I just wanted to point out, I think it's a good idea.
Oh, good on you. Okay.
For people to mention it so more people show up on the 20th in Portland or wherever.
I think it's super important.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Okay, number to call, 503-231-8187. Been talking about climate change, and I've been talking about the effectively genocidal nature of climate change in which the tropics will become uninhabitable. Now, this is just a handy way to genocide people of color. Frankly, if you look at who's going to get hit, how are they going to get hit, how hot it's going to get, who's going to die? Well, it's not going to be people in Europe. Well, it's going to be to some extent people in Europe, but by and large, the parts of the planet that are shortly to become uninhabitable, and when I say shortly, I don't know if it's 20 years, and I don't know if, well, it's starting to happen, I just don't know, no one does, and but I do see that we're in the midst now of a disaster. You know, the hockey stick, self-feeding, global warming, global climate change is happening. The ice in the Arctic is extremely thin right now. I have seen articles saying that that 50-degree rise is happening. That is so much energy. 50 degrees over a huge portion of the Earth. That is just a tremendous, tremendous amount of energy. So we're in the thick of it now, and there is some purely scientific speculation at this point. No funding. But climate scientists are starting to say we need something like calcite. Calcite, because it's an antacid, it's like giving the planet a Tums. You know, the problem with the proposal to spray sulfur in the atmosphere is that it comes down as sulfuric acid, and the oceans are already too acidic. Calcite would counter that and block sun temporarily. So that's being discussed, and although I don't know that much about it, I'm bringing up, as you know, this is me being a polemicist, frankly. I'm bringing this up because very serious people are considering this, and I'm trying to get across just how desperate the situation is right now with the planet, especially with the Trump administration going in, the tendency of the corporate-owned news media and all of their coal and oil holdings, automotive holdings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is going to be to play this down, because if there's one thing that upsets the super rich, it's instability and people thinking maybe they can act democratically. They don't like that. It's not predictable. They don't know how it's going to come out. Anytime there's a disruption in terms of what everyone's going to do, you'll see the stock market go down because they can't predict. That's what they care about. They don't give a damn if we live or die, just as long as we're predictable about it. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and John's on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks. You?
I'm calling from New York. I enjoy the station, enjoy your show. I'll be brief. It really frustrates me as somebody who feels the same way you do, that, you know, our very existence as a species is on the precipice. But it frustrates me to hear about a, quote, general strike. Part of the problem that people on the left of the spectrum in this country have had is, the Occupy movement was great. It was good to see people organize and get engaged. However, that engagement was in a very immature state. You know, in order for things to happen, in order for the people who are in power to feel threatened at all or even care, you have to have a little bit of specificity to what you're going after. You know, you can't just organize for the hell of it. So I feel like, you know, you brought up the Haymarket example before. The first thing that struck me were the McCormick workers were threatening the power elites because they were demanding an 8-hour day. They even had a slogan, I think, 8 hours a day with no cut in pay, something like that. So I would really encourage you, if you have anything to do with the organization of these types of protests, to start making them specific. How about, the overturning of our use of fossil fuels in 6 years to a complete conversion of more sustainable resources? That might be something to protest about and organize about. But, yeah, it has to be more specific. This general stuff doesn't work.
I think I hear where you're coming from on that. I think that this will work because everyone wants something to do about Trump, and we can tack on these other issues to that. So that's my strategy at this time. Thanks very much for your feedback, though, and really I'm flattered that you're listening from New York.
Thanks.
Number to call, 503-231-8187, and John's on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, we have 48 months of this coming up.
Yeah.
Maybe plus. Okay. Down the line, I think there should be always, not just today, but, throughout the 48 months, just little protests or big ones, I really don't care. Like 4th of July, Labor Day, our sacred day, holidays. However, during this 48 months, and I know, that in Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, the factories are not coming back. So you're going to have a huge disillusion. Like, I want my money back voters on Trump. This is where you extend the fig leaf or the peace leaf or whatever to them. Say, you don't have to say, and I told you so. No, just say, please, just join us. We're looking out for America. We're not, it's country over politics. I mean, we're really sorry that you got screwed or whatever, but please, just join us and, try to make something out of this whole mess.
Yeah, and to a hard-drinking former coal miner, I can say, look, we have a patrimony of technology, and we all have collectively, and our ancestors have earned for us universal basic income. Let's just get it.
Well, the 2012 election, what flipped Ohio was that Obama promised all those auto workers in Michigan and Toledo, Cleveland and everything, he bailed the auto companies out. And so some people got their jobs back. But what I heard later on, these big three people, they took all that money that the government gave them and built factories in Brazil. Now, what the, So there has to be a different kind of, way of approaching people. I don't think you could go to, Adam Smith and, capitalism or Karl Marx. But, just bread and butter issues, because, politics is the dirtiest game. And with the total ignorance of about 50% of the population in this country, there has to be a huge United Nations within a United States, everybody get together, talk about our problems, quit doing this red and blue stuff.
What you going to do January 20th?
I would just check out what's going on here in Portland. I'm a little bit, skitsy on the whole thing because I know there's going to be cameras out there taking pictures of people.
Ah, that's one reason why I want to do it. It's because they can't arrest all of us, so the bigger the better.
That's true. But I'm going to see what kind of, things like Pioneer Square, whatever, what's going to happen. I doubt it that the Portland, politics here will give any parade permits, but, who knows?
Yeah, I've got a parade permit. It's called the First Amendment. Hey, thanks a lot for calling in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Been talking about the global warming emergency. Been talking about the various issues brought up by the inauguration coming up of the president-elect, the demagogue, Trump. And you're welcome to talk about that. And that number again, 503-231-8187. Michael's on the air.
Hi, Teresa. Thanks for taking all the calls this morning. I have some static on my end of the line, so I'll have to be concise. I'm considering that we should kind of change the adjectives we apply to the term strike and demilitarize them. So because if you go through all of the ranks of militarization, you can have like a general strike or a private strike or a major strike.
Should we have a lieutenant strike?
That gets really dangerous. So I would like to start with just a generic strike instead of a general strike.
Should we change it to strike a general?
Would you say it again, please?
I said, could we change it to strike a general? That's a joke.
It is a joke. I think we do have an opportunity to develop our own American Marxism here, and we should try to back away from other countries' examples.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's always ongoing. You know, I like to say that my Marxism is sort of like a doctor's Watson and Crickism. It's like, how can I not pay attention to that? Call myself an anarcho-socialist. Anarcho because we should not have groups of people or persons over us. Socialist because it's our society. We should decide how it is, and we should decide on an informed and democratic and participatory basis.
Wow. That is a word, Teresa. And maybe I'll hang up so I can listen to it on the radio where I don't have too much static. So I'll wish you a good day and happy holidays.
Thanks for calling. And oh, yeah, happy holidays, everyone. I had a wonderful solstice last night. I just love that season. I mean, I love the idea. I mean, here I am in the Northern Hemisphere, and the planet Earth swings over to one side and swings over to the other side as it merrily spins around the sun, and as the sun describes its spiraling path through the galaxy. And I just think it's incredible that something as huge as a planet, something that I live on and you know, couldn't even walk from one end to the other, can be in this sort of motion. It's not just rotating, but it's tilting. And so it tilts all the way, swings all the way to the direction that it wants to go. and so for this... winter solstice, Northern Hemisphere winter solstice. And then for just a fraction of a second, you get to the zero point. It's not moving. It's not swinging one way, and it's not swinging the other way. It's stopped. And, you know, because it's winter and the coldness and the stillness, that all kind of comes together in my mind and gives me an occasion to, as many people have with various cultures over the millennia, it makes me think about, you know, who am I? Where am I? What do I want to do with myself? And there's this wonderful, wonderful moment of quiet. And that was 2:44 a.m. And night before last. And then almost by magic, I mean, of course, by the inexorable laws of Newtonian physics, but seems magical, it starts swinging back the other way. So now we're swinging back the other way. We're swinging back towards gardens. We're swinging back towards, you know, spring and summer, and I just think that's wonderful. I really, really enjoy this time of year for that moment. So my big holiday just passed. I really dug it, and it puts me in a great mood because I certainly have plans for making this a dynamic year, and I hope that you do as well. My blessings to you sincerely, and as I said before, my thanks and gratitude for letting me broadcast for so many years on KBOO Portland, your people-supported radio station. Let's say it all. People-supported community radio. There. KBOO, Portland. And so I invite your calls, 503-231-8187. We have been talking about the increasing and apparently little known to the extent disaster of today's climate change. The crashing of the largest glacier on Earth. I guess I could say it's kind of terrifying. I kind of refuse to get terrified. It's like, I don't know. I mean, here I am, here you are, we're alive, we're breathing, hooray, everything's great, but oh my God, look at that. So we've got some work to do. And I've been talking about the general strike, something to do, and the reaction I've been getting from just about everyone is like, oh my gosh, what a great idea, something to do about Trump, and a day to do it, and people to do it with. It's so exciting. I'm so fired about it. It can take so many forms, and it will. As I said, I've started with the posters, I encourage you to, you know, bring it up if it's not already moving in your organization and decide what you're going to do on January 20th and maybe other days. Other people are talking about between Martin Luther King Day and January 20th, general strike. Let's see how big we can make this, because we need to take this country back for the people and for the creatures on it. We need to take this planet back. And, So I'll talk to a caller, 503-231-8187. Thank you, Rock, for being so patient. Hi, Curtis.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to see more focus on anti-war demonstrations because that's the method the corporate overlords use to extract stuff from the economy, and then that then they use that as reason to screw up the environment, too, because then, you know, after every war, there's a recession. So then people use the, then they use jobs as the reason why they need to exploit the environment.
Yeah, I've been putting that on the posters, and I think that should be a huge part of the general strike. Is the, would you be interested in acting in some way, maybe organizing for anti-war faction of general strike?
Yeah, I'd be into that.
Okay.
Like that. Orwell said the war is waged by the ruling group against its own subjects.
It certainly is.
That's what that means. So that's where all the money goes.
Yes, it really brings up so much. I mean, so much money. I mean, you may recall over the past year that the Pentagon got its hand slapped very lightly and carefully for losing $1 trillion. An organization can do that can do that. Has a hegemonic place. I mean, we live to serve banksters and generals, and generals do what they want. When it comes to climate change, for example, I really suspect that, you know, I was talking about calcite. We need to find out what the Pentagon's doing, because I guarantee you the Pentagon is going to protect its assets. They, the Pentagon, after all these years, is there for the Pentagon. People like you and me can be in the way, and when and if we are, we are considered, as you say, targets. They are their own power. So they, I suspect they are already acting to protect their assets in climate change. That can go from everything from contrail and yes, chemtrail spraying to managing public opinion so that they don't have to get into, you know, some pesky outbreak of democracy while they're doing their thing. We need to stop the Pentagon because if we don't, I mean, it's just gotten so huge that we effectively are here for and serve the Pentagon, whether we like it or not. And it's just gotten too much. It's enslaved the entire planet, and it's got to come down.
I'm looking for a war tax resistance league. And is there one in Portland or Eugene?
There is.
All right, I'll try and find it on the net.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks for your call. So now a few issues have been coming up. One thing is I want to be really careful how I say this, I guess because I want to have an effect. I'm on a little community radio station, so I can only have so much effect, and there can only be so much effect in my words. I understand that. But when Reagan was elected, I felt a sort of similar thing. I thought, oh my God, how can so many people vote for that fool? And he also went the demagogue route. People have forgotten that he started his campaign in a lynching town on purpose. It was shot across the bow to black people that he was launching a war on them. He was White Backlash Incorporated, and it was very effective for him. But what I found with his people and the Pentagon, come think of it, taking a rather militant attitude, that people became afraid. And it turns out that's pretty easy. I mean, we live in this, people keep bringing it up, this surveillance society. And, you know, oh my gosh, what if you say the wrong thing? Well, believe me, you have. It's too late. All that attitude that you've been putting out on social media that you thought was private all these years, think about it. They know what you think. They, meaning the Pentagon, they, meaning the 17 secret police agencies that make up the that's why Hillary Clinton used the number 17. The 17, is it? No, I'm not sure. 17 or 19 secret police agencies that make up the intelligence community. Yeah, they can take, yeah, they can take action on you personally. Probably won't. But yes, somewhere, it kind of reminds me of Arlo Guthrie singing about his fingerprints on file. Somewhere enshrined is your attitude, cybernetically kept by one or more, or maybe all 17 of these secret police agencies, and who knows how many corporate secret police agencies. Yes, we have those as well, don't we? Hello, G-Force. And so you're in it. And if you're listening to this on the web, well, you're listening to a left-wing polemicist, an anarcho-socialist on the web, and maybe you should consider getting a broadcast-type radio. But we cannot afford to be afraid. There are too many of us for them to act. I'm talking about, the arbiters of power cannot act against all of us at once. They can act against us individually. When Pinochet took over Chile, when the generals took over Argentina, when they snatched people away, put them in the back of Ford Falcons, put them into Colosseums, tortured them, threw them away, stole their children. They did that because the great majority of the population was terrified and would not move. And part of the terror was the idea that maybe what was done was legitimate, or that it would be made legitimate, or that they couldn't act together. And really, when you get down to all the reasons why people didn't act, it was all fear. And this is what fascists do so well, and this is why I'm here right now saying we have to have a general strike. We have to shut down the country. We have to show them they cannot move. They will not take away the people that I love. They will not destroy this planet. They will not rule us. The poor benighted fools, the racists, who were dragooned into making a minority rule gesture that is now going to put a president in office, are not going to rule. They are not going to swagger like stormtroopers through the streets and get away with it. We are fighting back now. We are not going to stop fighting back. This is the limit, the red line that has been reached. The alarm is set. We are all organizing. We are all together. We are not going into that fascist dystopia, period. And that might mean that you might have to decide what you're willing to risk. And I certainly am sitting right here, and my words can be misconstrued very easily into incitement to riot, and I could do time for it, and I know that, and so I'm ready. And so I've made that decision. Maybe I'm going to do time. Well, who knows? Or who knows what penalty. There are nastier tricks that can be done. I don't give a damn. Someone has to stick their head up. Now, once someone sticks their head up and says we need revolution and we need change, it's incumbent on the rest of you to say, hell yeah, and say it loudly. And when we do that, when we have a general strike on January 20th, the Trump administration, much as they're going to hate it, is going to have to realize what they've got to deal with. That's why it's so important. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And Lars is on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I definitely support what you're saying, and I think it's really important that we resist to the extent that we're capable. The power we have is in our voices and in our actions, not in our weapons or, military devices. And so, ultimately there's a limit to how much we can do because we don't have military power, nor do we want to. And so I feel like to some extent, we want to resist the destruction of our government as long as possible. But ultimately, I don't know how long the system that we have in place is going to last since the corporations seem hell-bent on destroying any kind of, government that, supports people. So I feel like it's our duty to almost create a new system, with peer-to-peer networks, collaborative consumption, collaborative and cooperative living. We're going to have to support ourselves, I think.
I hear what you're saying, and I like most of it. The one thing I would quibble with is we do have military power. We have any military operation, any military group in the United States who still has brains and a conscience and a soul can come over to our side. It might seem impossible now, but I have met I've met special forces people who you would think would be absolutely rabidly right-wing who are left-wing. And as a matter of fact, I would say that special forces are more inclined to be that way and with a revolutionary attitude. And those people are there. They're in the armed forces right now, and we have to appeal to them first. Do not turn your guns on your own people. But more than that, if we have a good agenda, a right agenda, something that serves them as well, they will come to our side.
Right. Well, I hope it doesn't come to that.
Yeah, I prefer not. Thanks very much for calling in.
I just have one other thing to promote. As part of creating a new system, I heard you mention real briefly, like the transition of the new year into like after the solstice, and so I just want to promote the fact that I've created a new calendar system that is more closely aligned with the Earth as opposed to the Gregorian.
You know, that sounds like, I really am sorry to do this to you, but it's time for me to get off here. So we'll have to leave that at a suggestion at this point, and perhaps you can put it up in some other way. It's coming to the top of the hour. I hope that you will stay tuned for more of the Incomparable Radio Zine on KBOO Portland. You've been listening on 90.7 FM in Portland and other frequencies in Cascadia and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
Yes, good morning. It is KBOO Portland, 1 minute before 10 o'clock here on your Thursday. Coming up, we've got Between the Covers in about 1 hour at 11 o'clock. Today, the show welcomes Amy S. Foster, author of The Rift Uprising. Tune in to hear her thoughts about military deception, treatment of immigrants, and the bewildering new adult genre popping up in bookstores. Also today, the film show at 11:30. But up next, we've got Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. Roots Action co-founder Norman Solomon says the phony blame Putin movement is being fostered by the Clinton Democrats. That is coming right up. Hey, thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. A reminder that all new and increased gifts to KBOO are matched one-to-one through the end of the year, thanks to the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
Give to KBOO today during our end-of-year match. Starting November 1st and wrapping up December 31st, donations from all new and increasing members will be matched one-to-one up to $15,000 from the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. Give an extra gift today or become a member, and your membership will be doubled to support independent community media and citizen journalism at KBOO. Thank you.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market. Open weekends and daily December 17th through December 24th for the Festival of the Last Minute, offering handmade gifts created by artisans from the Pacific Northwest and is located in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.